Absence. He has asked Brother Daniel Carrera to preach for us tonight. So, my brother, if you'll make your way on up here and preach on.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Amen. What a blessing it is to be here this evening. What a blessing it is for me to have the opportunity to share God's word. And I thank Pastor Parsons for giving me this privilege, the opportunity to be here and be able to share God's word. I also want to thank always Pastor Carter for the influence that he had in my life, many years of faithfulness and a warrior for the Lord, and it's something that I really, really appreciate, and it's something that a man that I really look up to. So it's a blessing to be part of this ministry. It's a blessing to be part of this family, and I don't take this for granted, this opportunity. I want to ask you this evening to open your Bibles right there in the book of 1 Chronicles in chapter number 14. And we are going to be reading in verse number 8, 1 Chronicles in chapter number 14, Like I said, it's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to share God's word. I don't take it for granted, and I'm very, very excited about it every time that I get the chance to preach. I heard of a man that he was a boxer, and he got an outstanding record. Outstanding records in fights won and knockouts and everything. So, and he earned the title of a Superman. So this man went on a trip, and he was in the airplane. And the airplane was getting ready to take off. And the flight attendant went around, and, you know, the voice in the speaker came on and said, all right, the airplane is getting ready to take off. Please buckle your seats. So flight attendant was kind of going around, making sure that everybody has this buckling their seats. And he went right around this guy, and she went to him and said, please, sir, buckle your seat. And the man answered and said, well, Superman doesn't need a seatbelt. And the flight attendant responded was, well, Superman doesn't need an airplane either, so please buckle up. You see, we live in a society where we think that we are able and we are capable and we are self-sufficient to do what we can do in our own power and our own ability and our own strengths. Because we have certain gifts and we have talent, we think that we are able to overcome. We think that we have what is needed to do what only God can do. And sometimes, even in the Christian life, we get in this mode of cruise control where pretty much we just get to a certain speed, we push the button, cruise control, and we just go, and, you know, we pass exit after exit and gas station after gas station, and we think that we got it going on, and we don't need nobody, we don't even need God in certain circumstances or situations, and we just go, and before long, we find ourselves out of gas. And the verses that we are going to be reading this evening in here is how David, in the circumstances that he was about to go through, he yet asked God. So the title for this message is Ask God. The Bible says right here in chapter number 14, verse number 8, and when the Philistine heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord said unto him, and go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand. Verse number 11. So they came up to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there. Then David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies by mine hand, like the breaking forth of the waters. Therefore they called the name of that place Baal-perazim. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for tonight, and we thank you for the many blessings that you, Lord, have poured in our lives. We thank you for the salvation. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your grace and compassion, because it never fails. And God, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, that you've given us to be here tonight. And God, I pray, Lord, that you will use this message to encourage us, to challenge us, to direct us in the way that you want us to go. God, may the Holy Spirit move this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. So we see here that David was finally the promise of God upon David to become the king of Israel was now there, was now real. We see there, if you look at verse number 1, that David was now the new king of Israel. And we see now that some kings, they were sending messages of congratulations to David and send them gifts and presents to David for becoming the king over Israel. And among of this excitement, and this was a happy moment for David, for his family. Not just for him and his family, but also for the entire people of Israel. But not everything is just sunrise or sunshine and roses. We see that among of this excitement and happiness and enjoying the blessing the Lord had just bestowed upon David, putting him as a king, we see right there in verse number 8 that there were the Philistines. They were in happy campers about David being the new king of Israel. Because when they see there in verse number 8, the Bible says, and when the Philistine heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines. You see that the Philistines were united. There was no division. Now they have one common enemy, and that was David. When everybody was happy, when everybody was excited about what was going on in Israel and David becoming the new king, the Philistines weren't happy about it. So they decided to go up against David. Not to congratulate him, not to say nice words of encouragement to David, not to give David's gifts, but to fight him. They saw David as a threat. They saw David as someone that they needed to take him out, because they felt that now they were in jeopardy. And because of that, they wanted to go against David. But we see here that although the Philistines were united, they were in one mind and one thought and one feeling, one heart to go against David. We see in this time and age that society in general doesn't like Christianity. You see, when we preach, when we teach, when we try to share the gospel, and when we stand our ground, not just because it's our ground, but it's because the word of God, when we obey God's word, society doesn't like it. When we live our Christianity according to what the Bible is telling us, society doesn't like it. When we are told by God to be holy, for I am holy, and we want to live a separate life, the world doesn't like it. The Philistines, We see the Philistine as a picture of the flesh, of the devil, a people against God, people. You see, when we are moved by conviction because of the word of God, we are labeled as intolerant. We are labeled as homophobic. You are labeled as we are full of hate. And they are not going to rest. They are not happy no matter what we do. If we try to please them, if we try to get along with them, if we try to talk about it, they are not going to be happy. Amen. No matter what we do, that, and they will challenge us. They are not just challenge us at work. They are challenges in every area of our lives. If you don't believe me, turn the TV on. The news, TV shows, sitcoms, Philistines. So we see that society is, and we cannot give in into this current. We cannot give in into this idea that if we as a Christian just tone it down a little bit, we might be able to win them to Christ. Because it ain't going to happen. I heard of a man that went into a hunting trip. And he was going into the woods in there, and with his weapon in there, his rifle, and he was looking for whatever he was looking for, and all of a sudden, out of the blue, a bear came out. And he pulled up his rifle, and he was getting ready to shoot, ready to pull the trigger, and the bear goes, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing? Whoa, whoa, slow down, the bear said. Listen, we don't need to get so violent about it. There's no need for you to pull the rifle and shoot at me. Right? You are here, you know, hunting, looking for a nice, cozy coat. And I'm here looking for a meal. So why don't we come over here? Let's sit behind this tree here and let's talk about it. Sure enough, they talk about it. And after the conversation was over, the bear has a nice meal and the hunter had a very fur coat. Yes. The bear ate the hunt. That's how society is. That's how the devil is. You see, the devil is going to go like, whoa, 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 whoa. You don't need to be that fanatic about what you believe. Why are you making such a big deal anyway? You just need to tone it down. You are way up there. See, every time we make a decision for the Lord, every time we obey God, the devil, the Philistines, are going to show up. Right. Last week, we had a nice, a good camp, campers, teenagers. They were making decisions for the Lord. Some of them gave their lives to Christ. Some of them were responding to the message about serving the Lord in the full-time ministry. Some of them made decisions to just walk away from their sins and give them to the Lord. But believe you me, every time we make a decision for the Lord, Philistines are going to show up. Amen. King David was just crowned as a king in here, and we see that David in verse number 10, he asked for direction from God. Verse number 10, it says in here, and David inquired of God. The word inquire, it doesn't mean that he was just asking God, but it means that God, David wanted to know the truth. God, just tell me the truth. Just be as honest as you can be, and I will follow thee. You know what the problem is with today's society is nobody wants to hear the truth. Right. If we tell them the truth, they don't like it, and they get mad, they get upset, and they, oh, you're hurting my feelings. Right. We're so much worried about our feelings instead of hearing and listening to the word of God, which is Amen. The truth. And we see here that David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistines? You see, as a king, brand new king, David could have just got up, organized his army, and go up against the Philistines. After all, he was the king. He had the authority. And I'm pretty sure everybody would have followed him. But we see here when David says in here and inquire of God implies that David, yet being the king of Israel, he humbled himself before the Lord. As a king having everything to his disposal, power, the army, and everything that he needed, it was at his disposal. But yet, we see here David seeking God. Regardless of his position, regardless of his power, regardless of his prestige, he asked God. And what this verse says in here, he humbled himself before the Lord and asked God. When was the last time that we actually humble ourselves and ask God? Like I said before, sometimes we get in this cruise control mode that we made the assumption that because we are a Sunday school teacher, because we are a faithful member of the church, because we are a member of the Landmark Baptist Church, and we are, that everything would just fall into place. And we get this in a cruise control mode. Before long, we're going to run out of gas. And then it goes, and will thou deliver them into mine hand? Dependency. David was showing dependency, not in him, not in himself as a king, not in himself as the new king, but in God and God alone. And that's why he asks, inquire first, asking God, shall I go up? And then he goes again and asks, will thou deliver them into mine hand? Trusting God's power. Saying, God, I can do it. I'm a king. But I cannot defeat these Philistines if you are not with me. No matter how talented we are, no matter how many gifts we have, no matter how eloquent we are, we don't have what it takes if God is not in it. We see here, and we see that God in answer his prayer, and God said the word, and the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thy hand. God, David asking for courage. And David asking before the fact. Before he even had the thought about organizing his army, he went before the Lord. Amen. He didn't go into the fight and then ask God. Right. Many times we make decisions. And we go around and we ask people. And many times we have already made up our mind on what we want to do, and the only thing that we are doing is just taking votes. Until someone said, yes, you can do it. Oh, yeah, it's the will of God. Yeah, God gets the blame for a lot of things that he's not in it. And we see that David asked God before the fact. Many times we find ourselves in a mess. Many times we find ourselves in the midst of a mess because of lack of wisdom, lack of discernment that only comes by if we ask God. And we see here that David asked God, and we see that God answered David's prayers. And God, David just wanted deliverance. Deliverance from his people. Deliverance from himself. And we see here in verse number 11, so they came up to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. You see the result of asking God? You see the result of seeking the Lord? Asking for his counsel. What are you going to do? when the Philistine of marriage problem shows up? What are you going to do? What are you going to do with the Philistine of a family issue shows up? What are we going to do? What are we going to do when the Philistine of work or the Philistine of society and the Philistine and you can fill in the blank? What is our response? You see, when we make a decision for the Lord, the Philistines are going to show up. And I'm not trying to bring the party down, it's just the reality of it. I'm not trying to be negative about it. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. But it's the reality. But also we know that God is in us and with us. And you see, when David found himself in front of the Philistine, he didn't run away. He didn't ask, all right, I gotta skip town. And you know what? Many times we find ourselves in so many different circumstances and situations that we just want to bail out. That's why we are in the mess that we are right now in our country, in our society, because we haven't had the backbone to stand up in the Word of God and believe God and ask God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, For God has given us the spirit of love and of power, not a spirit of fear. Power. The power is not found in myself. The power is not found in my financial situation. The power of God. If we just ask. That's what David did. Ask God. Seek the Lord. We ask for deliverance. There's nothing wrong with that. Sometimes we go through trials and tribulations in our personal lives. And we ask God and we pray God that will deliver us from those things. But what if? What if God wants you to go through that? So that He will break your will, your heart, your way of thinking, your way of doing things. Don't doubt in the darkness what God has shown you in the light. You see, we don't see the stars during the day, do we? We see them during nighttime. And just because we don't see him during the day, it doesn't mean that the stars are not there. Amen. Just because we are going through certain trials and tribulations in our personal lives, it doesn't mean that God is not there. When I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My dad, he left a house when I was about 5 years old. We are four siblings. It's me, I'm the youngest one, I'm the baby. I have a brother who is 1 year older than me, and then I have two more siblings. They are 10 years older than me. He left the house. I never saw him. I never had the chance to spend time with him. My mom then, after my dad left, well, she needed to, you know, play the role of a dad and a mom. Start working at a young age. When I was in sixth grade, I had to go to work in school. Sometimes I went to school in the morning, and then in the afternoon I would go to work. I didn't get off until midnight, and then by the time I got home it was 1 o'clock in the morning, and then the next day I had to get up early in the morning to go to school and prepare for exams and everything else. But God still used those circumstances to work in my life until someone shared the gospel with me. After someone shared the gospel with me, I started being faithful to the church. I started working in the church, and as I started working in the church, I felt God was calling me to do something more with my life. So God called me to preach. I went home, and I, since then, since the moment I got saved, I every chance I had, I shared the gospel with my mom. And I want her to be saved. And one day, God gave me the privilege to lead her to the Lord, and she got saved. Amen. Right after that, I shared with my mom my desire and my decision that going into college, although she wasn't so thrilled about it because she wanted me to be an engineer, a doctor, you know, all of that. But I couldn't say no to the call of God. Amen. So I came to college. And I was very excited about it. I mean, I was just thrilled to be in college here at Landmark in my first semester, and I was just enjoying every bit of it. I was going through half of the semester, and I was just so happy and thrilled about it and being able to, you know, God working in my life. I was calling my mom, I don't know, twice or once a week to see how she was doing. And then I remember on a Saturday, or I think it was on a Friday, I called her on the phone. And every time I called and talked to her, she was just, I was trying to encourage her, pray for her, and being there for her. And I remember I pick up the phone on, I called her on a Friday, and she was sharing with me that she wasn't doing too good. She was some health issues, but she didn't go into details because she didn't want to worry me and me being in college. So I pray for her and I hang up the phone. Little that I knew at the time is that the Philistines were about to show up in my life. April the 30th, 2003. Like, I was getting up to go to class, and someone came into the door and knocked on my room. And it was my friend, and he said, you need to call home. So I called home and I talked to one of my brothers. And they said, Mom passed away. And I was like, it was a tough time. Amen. I was, Lord, you've called me to preach. Lord, I'm doing your will. Lord, I'm here in college, getting ready to do whatever you want me to do. I'm doing my part. I don't see you doing yours. It was a tough time because April the 30th, 2 weeks after that, was Mother's Day. I went home, had to skip pretty much that semester. After the funeral, I went to the funeral and all, and the Philistines were there. And I ain't going back to college. This is not working for me. And I started wrestling with the idea. But God, yet, I didn't see the stars. The stars were there. Although I didn't see God throughout those circumstances being like there, something inside of me, the Holy Spirit, was working in my life. I asked God. I made the decision that, God, this is your will. My life is yours. I have no say-so. I ask forgiveness for questioning God. You see, God, I'm not a victim of the circumstances. Yeah, my dad left when I was 5 years old. I lived a life like the devil. I did things that I shouldn't have done as a young man. I'm not a victim. Many people, I'm a victim. But you know what? Victimhood give the sense of entitlement. If I am a victim, I deserve that or that. I am not a victim. Overcomer, I'm not an overcomer. Many Christians now use the word, I'm an overcomer. I am not an overcomer. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And by the grace of God, I am what I am. And it's not of myself, and it's not because of me, it's not because of my talent, it's not because of my gifts, it's not because who I am, but it's because who God is. That's all I am. And the only way that I made it through is because of God. God gave me the strength, the ability to finish college. Got married. God used me and my wife to go to Chile and start a mission over there. People got saved. Lives were changed. God has called us and gave us this great opportunity for me and my family to be part of this great ministry here at Landmark. Amen. But what would have happened if I would have quit? Just because the Philistines show up in your life, it doesn't mean that it's over. Amen. They're going to show up. But greater is him that is in us than him that is in the world.
Right.
And it's not because of our strengths. It's because of God's grace we are who we are.
Amen.
You see, again, we just had to get serious with God. We just got to ask. Humble ourselves before his presence and let him work in and through us. Let's all stand. Let's bow our hand and close our eyes. The invitation is very simple. If you are not saved, you don't need to wait. If you are not sure where you're going to spend eternity, someone just come in here and someone will show you with the Bible in their hand how you can be saved. If you are going through a trial or a tribulation in your life right now, and the Philistines are very, very real in your life, come to the altar and ask God. Ask God for deliverance. Ask God for strength. Ask God for courage. And He, only Him, will deliver you. Brother Perkins.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back.
Sing it out with him.
Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. Though no one join me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back.
Well, praise God. Brother Daniel, awesome message. Very good. That's something we can all use. We all get in those situations. And we just got to remember that God's there and God's in control. Amen? Amen. Well, be in prayer for the pastor and all those that have gone to the sword. And be in prayer for Dr. Carter. Now, remember, Pastor Carter's preaching Sunday morning. Amen. Now, if you talk to him, I know it's been a few weeks, so he's probably ready to unload the wagon. So if you talk to him and encourage him a little bit, he might talk a little bit about what's going on in the government today. Amen? He can get you up to date. So anyhow, I'm looking forward to it, and I know you are, so... So be sure to be here Sunday and Sunday night both. All right, let's have a word of prayer. We'll be dismissed. Father, we love you. We thank you for the night. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for Brother Daniel, Lord, and the message that he just brought. And Father, we ask, Lord, that you'll help us to apply it to our lives, Lord, and remember that God is always there. You're always there. You're always watching over us. And Father, we do pray for all those that are out of town and traveling, Lord, and those that are on vacation. And Father, we just ask traveling mercies for them and your blessings upon them. And as we dismiss tonight, Father, we pray that you'll take us home safe, bring us back safe Sunday morning. We love you and we praise you for it. In Christ's name, amen. Amen. Choir practice. Choir practice.